Blog Talk Radio. Come on, everybody, get on your feet. Let's have a good time. Come on. Everybody, anybody got the joy of the Lord in the sanctuary tonight? Anybody got the joy of the Lord in the sanctuary? Come on, we got a little ways to go. I need you to clap those hands like this. Come on, everybody, just clap your hands. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, come on. I've been through the storm and the rain. I had heartaches and pain, but I got joy. Yeah, 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 yeah. I've been up, I've been down. I've been driven to the ground, but I got joy. Anybody got joy tonight?
Yeah.
Come on, say this with me.
I don't care what kind of pandemic you've been through, while the snow been. I don't care what you've been through. There's joy in the morning. Joy will find its way. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think that was just a perfect song. Praise God for every one of you who have faced some trial. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to let you know that joy will come in the morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All glory. He's so worthy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
The worship song says this: our God is awesome.
Oh, God.
Keep me in the valley.
In the valley.
Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He'll
be when I'm broken.
Strength. Come on, somebody.
Take me out
and weep.
Forever he'll reign.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing.
Oh, God, awesome. Come on. We serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Awesome.
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 Awesome. Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you serve an awesome God. You serve an awesome God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to let things come in our lives just to strengthen us up, to help us to look up, to help us to cling more closer, to call upon him. Praise God. We're going to always have some trials, some temptations, some hurts, some pains, but our God is awesome. Glory, hallelujah. Our God is awesome. Praise God. So don't be worried about the hurt and the pain you go through. Our God is awesome. He will heal your broken heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Set you free. Praise God. Hallelujah. From every pain. Praise God. You're going to look back at that thing and you're going to smile about it. You said it looked, seemed, and felt so hard back then, but you know what? That was light affliction. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our God got this thing organized, somebody. Praise God. Well, you are listening to God's favorite program coming to you tonight. Praise God. Have you lost a loved one, son or daughter, to drugs or to the prison walls? Maybe slain by the bullet or whatever you may be going through in life. Praise God. Maybe you may be going through some kind of sickness and you need prayer tonight. Whatever you need prayer for tonight, we are willing to pray for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God said he will give you the rest. He ain't going to leave it up to nobody else. Come on, somebody, now. You hear me tonight. God said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. If God don't give you the rest, all he wants you to do is lean and totally, totally, totally depend upon him. He's your God. He is your God. There is no God like him. There's no God beside him. There's nobody can do what your God can do. Oh, praise God. I just love the Lord when I think about that. Praise God. He's my everything. I know sometimes we want to go to others and ask them to pray for us, but hey, there's no prayer like that. Prayer to your God when you call up on him. Ha ha. Glory. Hallelujah. praise God. Well, let's go to prayer. Father, right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you asking you to forgive us of all our sins today, God. You said we sin daily, God. Forgive us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to come before you tonight, God. Oh God, the joy of the Lord is our strength, strengthening us in every part, every way, God. Oh God, that we may stand in, oh God, teaching us, oh God, totally, totally to lean upon you and depend upon you, Lord God. God, you are our strength, oh God. Oh, Father God. So help every mother, oh God, that may have a loved one behind prison walls, oh God. Father God, help every mother, oh God, that lost a daughter to, oh God, gun violence or drugs or pregnancy, oh God. Lord God, may she continue to look to you, God, that home, oh God, be filled with prayer, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, somebody might have a sickness tonight, and God, oh God, want to be healed. God, you the healer, God. We believe you, the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. For in you, Lord God, everything rests in you, Lord God. So, Lord God, we call upon the healer. We call upon the deliverer. God, oh Father God, you can do it, God. Lord God, we just lift you up and praise you, God, for what you're doing, God. Oh God, you already done it. Praise God. It's already done. It's already done. And we give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor, God. Oh God. Oh God, so touch that son, touch that daughter, deliver from drugs. Oh God, touch those behind prison walls. Oh God, may they call upon you and know, God, that you knew where they would be. And God, you right there with them, God. Oh God, oh God, heal the hurts, oh God. Oh God, oh God, bring salvation into our families and friends' life, oh God. Lord God, that they are know about this here joy, will God. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, you will do anything, oh God, Father God, in your power, according to your will, oh God. And Lord, we just thank you for it, Lord. We give you the glory tonight, God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Your word shall go forth and will not return void. Hallelujah. It will accomplish. Ah, yes, Lord God. Oh, God, wherever you send me, God. Lord, if you say go there and heal this body tonight, God, we have the faith to believe it because you told us, and we're going to obey you, God. We're going to obey you, God. Oh, we're going to run hard after you, God, and follow after you, God. We're going to keep our eyes lifted toward the heavens, oh, God, from whence cometh our help. All of our help cometh from you, Lord God. We will not bow down to another. You told us, oh, God. Your sheep hear your voice, and another one you will not follow. Oh, praise God. We're not following nobody but you, God. We're running hard. God, we're going to be like the woman, oh, God. Oh, press through the crowd, oh, God, just to touch the hem of your garment, God. Oh, God, thank you, Father God. Thank you that we can press, God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that we're not going to give up, oh, God. God, oh, Father, thank you, Father God. You are God, you are God, and you are God alone. Oh, praise your name. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am just so elated, praise God, to see all of you all on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. All this month, we've just been praising God and talking about that love of God. Hallelujah. Oh, who else can give us love like the love of God? And it's been just awesome and tremendous. Praise God. Hallelujah. This, you know, you can never stop talking about the love of God, because the love of God is from Genesis to Revelation. He is God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I ask if anyone on tonight, praise God, that have a prayer request, press 1 on your phone now so that we can pray for you. Is there anybody on tonight, praise God, that may have a prayer request and they want prayer tonight? This is the time for you to press 1 on your phone, and we'll be glad to pray for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We always want to acknowledge you and pray for you if you're going to. God said we ought to pray you one for another. Praise God. Pray for one another. because of the love. Somebody come on. Oh, praise God. Because of that great love, we love you. We love you here on this program. Yes, we do. We love you, and we're going to pray for you. Every prayer request that comes up that God wants us to pray for, we're going to pray. So press 1 right now on your phone, and we will be glad to pray for you. Praise God. All right. As the hands go up, I'm going to go to the first one. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that is 985-3173. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. Love you all. Glad to be here again one more time with you all. This is Minister Bowman, and I'm asking for prayer for my sister-in-law, Sandra Robinson, and Regina Hall, and also asking prayer for my brother in prison during the storm. They turned the heat off on him, and he got kind of cold. So I'm asking you all to lift up prayers for him. And my brother, Charles Travis, he had brain cancer, so lift them up in prayer. Amen.
God, great God you are, awesome God you are. God, there is no other God like you, God. And Lord, you hear Sister Bowman's prayer request tonight, Lord. And God, Father God, we lift him up to you, Father God. Nobody knows these people like you do, God. You know her brother. Brother Travis, Sandra, and Regina, God. And Lord, Father God, whatever, God, they stand in need of tonight, God, I believe, God, that you can turn that thing around, God. Because there is nothing too hard for you to do, God. We apply the blood over them right now. Let the blood cover and wash and cleanse. Set them free. In the name of Jesus, that they won't be plagued, oh God, by the plagues, oh God, that the enemy is trying to hold and them captive to. But God, you're the one. You're the one, oh God, that sets free, oh God. We thank you for it, Lord God. Thank you for Minister Bowman, oh God. Thank you for her walk with you. As she cries out to you, Lord God, I know you'll hear and answer her prayer, oh God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Oh, God, just minister to her daily, God, as you do, God. But send a fresh anointing. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Go ahead, Minister Gwen.
Good evening, Pastor Vivian. Good evening to you and all the other men and women of God who are on the line. I'm asking prayers for the Holden Stewart family. This is a family on my mother's side and grandmother's side. My cousin Kenneth's wife went on to be with the Lord Candy, and he's holding on. He's dealing with shingles, and he's been crying out in the hospital for God to take him on because the shingles are not giving him any relief. He's in so much pain. You know, plus he's dealing with, he was in the room with his wife when she went on with the Lord. And her younger daughters are, Candy, their younger daughters, rather, they're responsible for both of their parents right now. Also, I ask prayers for my sister Yvette's best friend. Her best friend, son was killed in Franklinton, Louisiana, in a drive-by shooting. So I ask prayers for all of the families that I just mentioned. Thank you.
Glory be to God. Father, we do lift up the Holden family to you, God, in this time of bereavement. We know, God, that there is a time to die, God. Lord, there's a time that you remove us from this earth. We just pray, God, that they will lean and depend on you, God, for strength, oh God, that you will strengthen them in the times like these, oh God, in this
oh God, shingles, oh God, from the store, God. We believe you, God, for healing, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, soothe them and take away all the pain and the blisters, oh God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh God, let them, oh God, just, oh Father, ha, ya bosa, oh, just lean on you for those shingles, oh God, and know, God, that, God, you could clean it up in a zip, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. Father God, heal and touch right now, Lord God. And, oh God, her sister's friend, oh God, Lord, they have lost this child to gun violence, God. You know the hurt and the pain. Oh, Father, not just about a mother, but it's about the family, oh God. And, Father, we do pray, oh God, Father God, that for this family that have lost a child to gun violence, oh God, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray, oh God, Father God, that they, oh God, will turn it all over to you and not hold on to it and say, Lord, oh God, I'm yours and I'm in your hand, oh Lord, oh Father God. And God, I'm asking you to strengthen us through this time, oh God, Father God. I cannot move without you. I can't talk. I can't breathe without you. But God, with you, all things are possible, oh God. And so, Father, I pray that they will just totally turn it over to you, God, and let you, God, help them, oh God, because we know it hurts, oh God, but it's the flesh. But, oh God, deep down the soul, oh God, you got them, oh God. Oh, Father God, Lord, just paint yourself, oh God, in their face, oh God, and say, oh, here am I, here am I. Oh, God, trust in me with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And, God, I know you will give them the comfort and the peace that passes all understanding. Oh, praise God. Thank you so much, Minister Gwen. Is there anyone else? As I scroll down, I'm seeing if there's anyone else. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else before we go on? Praise God. If not, praise God, I will come back maybe a little bit later. Praise God. Hallelujah. But at this time, as I had said, praise God, this whole month was dedicated to love. There is so much in the Word of God about love. Would you believe it is so much about from the beginning of Genesis to the Revelation? So I have asked certain ones every week to have something to say about this great love. If you can't say anything about this great love, praise God, that this great God that we serve, when God is love, praise God, you better search yourself, because God is love. And he said he has loved us with an everlasting love. So tonight, praise God, I'm going to open up the floor to Deacon Vons and his lovely wife, Minister Lola Vons, and they're going to be our speakers for tonight on love. They will bring us some songs. But first of all, I want them to tell you a little bit about the CD and the videos that he has, and they will give you the address if you don't have it. Go forth, my friend.
Praise God. Thank God. I praise God for being on the line. Thank you, Sister Vivian, Evangelist Vivian, for letting us come forth on your line for the first time, I believe. But about the video, if you would like to purchase one or a CD, we do have some for sale, and they're only $12 for the CD. And that's because we have to mail them to you, but they regular $10. But if you get one through the mail, we have to mail it to you for $12 and for shipping and handling. And then the DVDs, they are only $20, but if you get them both, they $25. So our address, if you want to write it down, is P.O. Box 885, Mount Olive, Mississippi, 39119. And you can cash out me too. My phone number is 601-765-7000. And if you put that number in there, my cash out address should come up, which is $ Lola Vaughn 1. And that's LOLA, V as in Victor, AUGHN, and then 1. So thank you for your support, and we just do it for our mission. That's just something that we do to get out and just spread the gospel, and thank you so much for your support. Do you want us to go on with the word, Mother?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Tonight we were going to talk about what make a great successful. We're just going to talk about love and just being married to Christ and being and one thing that Christ done, he put us together as couples here on earth. And just having a successful marriage, you know, being ordained by God is the best thing that just unified and holy matrimony. That is just a miracle that God has when he joined two people together that's supposed to be together. And a lot of times when people get married, they don't choose the right partner. They don't have the right mate for them. You know, everything is chaos when they get married because they didn't go in it the right way. And we don't want to have a relationship with God the same way, because being married to Christ, you can't have all this other stuff before him. You got to put Christ first. And love, you know, you have to keep his commandments, because he said if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And being faithful to him, you can't break one commandment, not one law. If you do things, if you show impartiality, he said it's like you're guilty of them all. And you don't want to do anything that will cause Christ to be hurt, because that's showing him that you're not faithful to him. And when you're not faithful to your spouse, it's kind of like you commit adultery. You know, you're going out. It's like you killing him all over again, like they did when he was crucified on the cross. But he had so much love for us that he gave his only begotten son, God did, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so tonight we're just going to talk from our heart, we're going to talk a little bit about what love is and what God requires of us as Christians, you know, and not just having love, but, you know, love calls you to be faithful to one another. Love will cause us to work together. You know, it won't be no bickering and fighting. Love calls us to listen to each other. You know, if you're always doing the talking and never sit down and hear what your spouse or your friend or your loved ones have to say, that's not love. That's being selfish. And forgiving one another, that's so important. You cannot have a relationship no kind of way. Friend, sister, brother, husband, wife, you can't have a relationship unless you learn to forgive. And that is so important for us to forgive one another, because if you don't, and then not only forgive, but forgive the right way. You know, forgive in love. Everything you do, it has to be in love. If you just go up to tell somebody, I'm sorry for what I'm doing, I'm just so sorry, That you didn't do it out of love. So it wasn't even genuine. And if you love somebody, you're going to do it all the way. Everything you do, you're going to show them that you love. So what we're going to do tonight, I guess I'll just tell you what love is, and then we'll give you some examples in the Bible of what not to do. And I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians, a few verses, and then I'm going to turn it over to my husband, and then I guess we'll sum it up with some examples in the Bible. 1 Corinthians just talks about what is love. He says that love, he said, though I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm beginning to sound like a sounding brass and like a tinkling cymbal. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith to remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. So we got to make sure that we have love, because, like I said, if love is not in nothing that you have, nothing that you do, if you're gonna work, if you're gonna listen, if you're gonna forgive, if you're gonna work together, if you're gonna be faithful to one another, you got to show the love of God in everything that you do, even in your giving. When you're giving each other gifts or whatever, you just got to show that love. He said, charity suffer long and is kind. Charity envy not. Charity vaunt not itself and is not puffed up. So you don't have to be stuffed up, don't want to sleep, don't want to. My dad used to tell us when we was single, all three of us, three girls, he said, I don't ever want to hear you guys you ladies. He said, I don't ever want to hear you ladies say that you withdrawn yourself from your husband. I'm not going to sleep with you tonight because you did me wrong, or you said this about me, or you looked at me, looked at someone else. He said, I don't care what your husband did. He said, I don't want to ever hear you say that you're trying to get revenge on your husband by not sleeping with him, because that's what worldly people do. Saints don't, we don't do that. We don't withhold. The only time we withhold ourselves from each other is through fasting and praying. So when you have infidelity come in your marriage for doing crazy stuff like that, if you're not going with, especially if your husband is not saved all the way, and you'll find out if he is or not for doing stuff that's not pleasing with God. But God tells us in his word not to do that. And so if you're gonna be upset, don't let it be so bitter and so unforgiving upset. You know, sometimes you don't agree from everything point of view. You may not see it the same way. You know, you may add four up to be like two and two together make four. He may want to put three and one together and make four. But either way, it's going to come out to be four if you work it together. But suffer. Charity suffer long and is kind, and it's envy not, and it's not puffed up, it says, and it does not behave itself unseemly. You know, it's not easily provoked. You're not just going to get so easily upset, and you're not going to rejoice when somebody get hurt or do wrong, but you're going to rejoice in the truth, and it's forbearing all things. So you know, sometimes we think we have friends, not only our husband, but sometimes we may have classmates or friends or someone, and you think they love you, but when they sit in there and every time you do something and they rejoicing of your mistake, that's not a friend. You may need to check and make sure that person is a true friend. But if you go over to Ephesians, and I'm just reading the scriptures here, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So when you letting all this bitterness and wrath and all these things that get you upset, even clamor is like when you're shouting at somebody to get them to do something. You know, your husband shouting at you, go wash the dishes. You need to get in there and clean yourself. You don't have to shout. You don't have to holler at nobody to do nothing for you. Nobody is a slave. Women don't have to shout at your husband, you need to get out there and get this trash out. You need to, no. Saints, work. My husband and I have been married 27 years. We don't never shout at each other to get each other to do what we want to do. We don't do that. We just ask, and if he doesn't want to do it, I know you're tired, baby. I am too. We just sit there. Nobody wants to fold the clothes. They just sit there. We just tired. You know, we just come in. We just came in from work. He felt like washing the dishes. I said, okay, I'll put them up. But that's how you do. You don't just be so bitter out of everything, but be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And then he says in one more scripture, and then I'm going to let my husband read what he has. I had read in Colossians, it says the same thing similar, that we ought to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, and blasphemy, communication out of your mouth. But he said, put on mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbear one another, and forgiving one another. So just like I said earlier, if we don't, and if any have a quarrel against any, if Christ forgave you, forgive them. And so it's so easy to forgive. We just have to go and just, you know, be sincere and forgive and just show your love. Show your love for one another and it'll work out. And I just thank God because even with us, me and my husband being married for 27 years, it's been a blessing. You know, we haven't had any outsiders to come in to try to come between our marriage. And we didn't have in-laws, mother-in-laws, or father-in-laws to try to separate our marriage or come between it. But I hate to see when a married couple get together and the man always running to his mother or the woman always running to her family. That's not love. If you can't sit down and talk about it, you definitely don't need to bring in outsiders to try to fix your situation. If you're at that level, don't get married because it's not going to work out. Because if you bring in all your family and they get involved in your mess, y'all be the made up. And they still think,
I remember when he got that woman this and that, and they don't, she doesn't engage him, and they done moved on with their marriage. And my dad used to tell us, he said, I don't care what you see your in-laws do or your sister husband do, don't you ever go back and tell your sister. In other words, he thought marriage was so important that if I saw that man cheating on my sister, that's not you. That's not your job to go and break up that home. You go and you talk to that husband, and you tell him, I see what you do. You better treat her right because God's going to expose you, you know. But don't be the first one to just try to go and get information and break up somebody's marriage, because just pray for them, and God will work it out. But I thank you at this time, and we're gonna read. My husband had an example of some people in the Bible that worked together and you know, just people, just characters in the Bible that love the Lord.
Amen. We thank God for on the line tonight. It makes a successful marriage. A lot of people go in and they say, well, marriage 100%. It's not the owl.
You're going out, brother.
One example I find in the scripture is a very good example of what a marriage should be. And it talks about Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla. A man and a woman of God who worked together hand in hand, not only in the ministry, but also in their business. Luke, the gospel writer and the author of the Acts of the Apostles, he portrays the husband and wife team of Aquila and Priscilla as an ideal model of Christianity. They are friendly, they are hospitable, and they are generous. Most of the time in a marriage, the husband sometimes can be okay and the wife will be snobbish. Or sometimes the wife will be okay and the husband will be snobbish, or vice versa. But in order to have a successful marriage, you both got to be on the same level with the same mindset and want some of the same things out of life. Or if not, it's not going to work. But Aquila and Priscilla is an awesome example of what a husband and a wife should be, how they should work together, how they should honor each other. They are friendly. They are hospitable. They are generous. Aquila, did you not know that even as a pastor and pastor wife, your success at your church will also determine the success of your marriage, the success of your home life? Aquila was a tent maker who traveled extensively throughout the New Testament world with his wife, Priscilla. Some scholars suggest that Priscilla inherited wealth and she held influence in her community. As a possible reason, she is mentioned before her husband. Most scholars support that Priscilla is mentioned before her husband because she is the primary teacher. In a successful marriage, you cannot be jealous of each other. The wife may be able to speak better than the husband. The husband might be able to speak better than the wife, but you can't allow jealousy to come in a marriage. If you do, it's going to rip it all apart. But you are in a successful marriage, you must be a team. It must be team-oriented. You must hold your teammate up when they're down. You must support your teammate when they're in the game. Christian homes and solid Christian marriages remain two of the best tools for spreading the gospel, and wife teams can be tremendous blessings for the body of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be successful in the body of Christ as a single person, but you can be effective as a single person, but a husband and wife team It just gives it that extra punch. A husband and wife team can be tremendous blessing for the body of Christ. You take a true man of God, a true woman of God that knows how to deal with, you know, a successful marriage. You've heard them say behind every good man does a good woman. That's not always the case. That's not always the case. And not behind a good woman is always a good man. That's not always the case. Sometimes that can be hard to find sometimes. You to have a good man and a good woman. But when you're both rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, that's the main thing in a successful marriage. Jesus Christ got to come first. Everything else got to come second. And if Jesus Christ is not the center of your marriage, you're not going to have a successful marriage. Why? Because when you have Christ, that's the center of your marriage, no matter what comes up, you know how to pray together and work it out. You know how to come together and talk it through. But so many marriages end in divorce because there's no communication. Problems arise, but you don't want to communicate and work it out. So when there is no communication, you allow the enemy to come in. And he will destroy that marriage simply because the husband can't come down, and the wife, she doesn't want to give way. So you got two stubborn people there. He's pushing his agenda, and she's pushing hers. And what you'll wind up doing is pushing each other right out the door. Also, in a successful marriage, what happens at your home? It must stay in your home. Because when your business becomes other people's business, you don't have any business. A husband and wife team can be tremendous blessings for the body of Christ. The faithfulness of people like Priscilla and Aquila. The reason a husband and wife team is successful because the scripture says that 1,000 away. Two can put 10,000. That means one can put 1,000 demons to flight. Two can put 10,000 demons to flight. So two people walking together in holy matrimony with Christ at the center, that's going to be a successful marriage. Adam and Eve marriage would have been successful, but they allowed that serpent. If Adam would have taken his rightful place in the garden, we would not have to go through the things that we go through now. In a successful marriage, the man must stand up and be the man in the house. The woman must stand up and be the true woman of God in the house. You can't have a successful marriage if you are if the husband is getting ready to punish the kid for something he's done or put him in time out or whatever. You can't, as the wife, step in and well, don't do that. Don't. I know a lot of marriages that are in trouble today because when the children were small, the children were not chastised. They were not corrected. So as the children grew up, it became a strain on the marriage. Because why? Mom and dad were so used to letting the children have their way and doing what they want to do. I'm almost finished. The effectiveness of their ministry, Aquila and Priscilla, the effectiveness of their ministry is a tribute to their personal relationship with each other. They had a great working relationship with each other. My wife and I, we have a great working relationship with each other. We run our business. We work together. We're together 365 days a year.
Hallelujah.
7 days a week. Hallelujah. 24 hours a day. And somebody said, you don't get tired of your wife with you 365 days a year, 7 days a week? I said, no, I do not. Why? Because what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. The effectiveness
Amen.
of the effectiveness of your ministry is a tribute to their personal relationship. I'm talking about Aquila and Priscilla. But when God is the center of your marriage, you're going to have a successful marriage. People that have been married for 60 and 50 and 30 years, 70 years, the reason being, they had God, they had Jesus at the center of their marriage. And the other thing you can't do in a successful marriage, you can't carry past relationships into your marriage. What happened in that old relationship that didn't work out, you must leave that word here, because if you don't, you will bring those same problems into the new marriage, and then you're going to have the same problem. It'd be just like a revolving door. It'd be just like a merry-go-round. And the reason you have a lot of people that's been married sometimes five and six times and neither one of the marriages worked out, it's simply because they didn't have Christ at the center of their marriage. Now, I know a lot of people sometimes they get married because a spouse might die. But if you've been married six or seven times, four or five times, you probably need to double check, because Christ is probably not at the center of that marriage. You could have gotten married for the wrong reason. A lot of times people get married for the wrong reason. They get married for money. They get married for sex. But you got to get married because you truly love and respect and honor each other. Because if you don't, it's not going to last. I don't care how much money you spend on your wedding. If you don't have Christ at the center of that marriage, it's not going to work out. The effectiveness of their ministry is a tribute to their personal relationship with each other and with God. Their hospitality became the doorway of salvation for many, which is why the enemy fights so hard against marriage. Why? Because marriage is honorable in the sight of God, and the bed is undefiled.
That's right.
Marriage is honorable. I'm talking about marriage between a man and a woman. That's honorable in the eyesight of God. Marriage between a man or a woman, that's not honorable in the sight of God. You will never see in a marriage between two men, you will never see children birthed out of that marriage. Now, they may go and adopt some children, but there will never be a child out of that. You can take two women that come together and call themselves married. There will never be children brought into that, not through that type of union. It must be between a man and a woman. That's how God designed it, and that's how it has to be. I got here too late to change it. More than half the marriages in the United States and in the church end in divorce. Why? Why would two people that go to church all the time, why would their marriage end in divorce? Why would the pastor and the pastor wife, why would they end in divorce when they was coming to church? Well, they was coming to church, but the church was not in them. Christ was not the center. Just because it's the pastor and the pastor wife and it may appear that everything is lovely and dandy, it could really just be a false face that both of them are wearing. Because if Christ is not the center of your marriage, and I know you say he keeps stressing that Christ must be the center. Yes, because if Jesus Christ is not the center of your marriage, it's not going to work. And I'm almost finished, but half the marriage in the United States and in the church end in divorce. They end in divorce. Christ of why I have a few more words on this here. What makes a successful marriage? Amen.
Yes, I would like to say listening makes a successful marriage, and doing. And if you listen to each other, really listen, because sometimes you can get to talking and disrespect each other, then nothing will be accomplished. And everyone, the scripture that I'm going to read is 1 James 1 and the 19th verse. It says, "My dear brother and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." So when we get upset with each other, it's not producing the righteousness of God. And if it's anything I know that's going to go against God's will for me, I'm going to try to find myself, Lord, repenting quickly. Lord, I don't want to have part of that in my life. I don't want a part of this in my marriage. So you have to pray together. We pray every night together. For 27 years, I don't think it's been a night that we have laid down and not prayed together. We get up in the morning reading our scriptures. We read our Bibles together. We brush our teeth together. I mean, everything you do, it becomes like you're one. We never did come into the marriage with two checking accounts, two bank accounts. This is yours, this is mine, this is your lazy boy, this is my lazy boy, this is your car, this is my truck. We didn't come in our marriage like that. Everything was ours. We forgot about the word yours and mine, and everything became ours. And then the scripture says, the 22nd verse, he says that do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. So, you know, if God tells us to do that, it is for a reason. And he doesn't, you know, a lot of times marriages doesn't work out. Like I heard my husband say earlier, you bring baggages from other relationships, and it's not going to work out. When you go out and you're dating this person, and the husband's heart doesn't fully trust you when you get married and you have already did that and done that. But if you're a virtuous girl and you're a virtuous woman of God, and you're keeping yourself from being defiled with all these other men or women or whoever, then you can go around the world and they will trust you. You can trust each other, because if you're going to keep yourself and stay faithful to your marriage and abstinent from sex until you're married, that makes that person's heart trust you even more. But if you did that, if you let somebody fool you before you get married, it's going to be hard for that person to continue to trust you, unless God give you that, you know, y'all have that bond together and forgive one another. But it's so much easier if you never done it. And then a lot of things that people do in Leviticus, it tells us not to do it. He tells us not to be, he said all these things in Leviticus 20, that if you sleep around with your neighbor's wife, they all of them look like they've been put to death. You can't be sleeping with your father's wife. You can't have sexual relationship with your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law. You can't have sexual relationship with a man, like another man having a woman, two men together, two women together. All those things are detestable. They're just violating, you know, what God has in store for us as husband and wife. A man married to a one woman, and then you turn around and marry the woman's mother, stuff like that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't cross the line. God, all these things are detestable to the Lord. And so when you marry the girl, don't marry the girl's sister after the girl died. Just some stuff, you know, we just don't need to do. You know, we need to just make sure that when God give us love for one another, don't go dipping in messing around with the auntie, incest, and all that kind of stuff. All of these things, that's what was going on with Noah and before the Moses, Noah in the ark. Everything was just they was perverted. And so God had to, he had to repent that he even made man, because they had came so corrupt. And that's how the world is now. You look around, I was just watching the television, two men kissing each other. I couldn't go forward fast enough trying to get that off my television. But just a lot of stuff that they're doing now, trying to make us accept it, but that's not the will of God. I'm not going to accept it. I don't hate them, but I'm still going to tell them the truth. What you're doing is not right. And God wants us to love one another. He wants us to love each other in spirit and in truth. And that's what's going to make a successful marriage. So I don't know if, you know, who's on the phone, or if you're thinking about getting married, or if you're praying for a husband or wife, you know, just seek God and just make sure that you get somebody that's compatible. Don't get anybody that's not equal. Or, well, I mean, like, you're saved and that person doesn't have a desire to be saved. If they have a desire to be saved, you know, you make them change their heart, as the Bible says. You make them win them over. But if you get out there and just marry somebody that have totally different beliefs, I don't, you know, they believe in Islam or something, you know, where they worship in a statue or something that's not of God, then that is totally different belief. So I wouldn't even entangle myself with someone that's not believing the word of God to the fullness, because that will shake your faith, and then he may draw you away from God. So if it's anybody going to draw you away from God, just stay away from that person and just continue to ask God to give you the right person, and he will do it. Because I was only 12, and I was praying for a husband, and by me being so young, I didn't know exactly what to pray for, but this man told me to be specific. He said, just don't ask God for a husband. It's just like a job. He'll give you a job picking up cans. But he said, but if you're specific, he said he'll give you exactly how you want them. So when I started praying, I wanted somebody, if he was a teacher, Lord, let him, the first thing I said, Lord, let him love you. Because if he love you, then I know he'll love me. And then I just went on and I prayed about a job, a career. And because we were so young, we haven't even kissed nobody. I told God I didn't even want him to kiss anybody. And that was only if I keep my promise. I wanted the same thing. So when you can find a compatible person and y'all just so compatible, you know, and you wait on God, God will bless you. But what happens, we'll lose faith and we'll start doubting his word. Well, maybe that one is not for me. Or maybe God has somebody else. I just put up with somebody just because I just want him to love me. No, you don't only want him to love you, but you want him to respect you. You want him to do right by you. You want to do right by him. You want the whole nine yards. I want 100%. I give God 100% of my life, and you expect God to give you 100% in return. And he will. He'll do you just like you treat him. God will do even more for you. It's just uncomparable of how God can do.
Amen. And just a little more on what makes a successful marriage. Go ahead. Yes, what
we want to get a summary. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, just one other short thing, and then we're going to do the song, and we're going to be finished. But Ephesians, the fifth chapter in the 21st verse says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, just because the husband is the head of the wife doesn't mean the husband has all the sense either. In a successful marriage, the husband may be the head of the house. But just because the wife comes up with a better idea than what he has to do something, he shouldn't get bent all out of whack. You're still the head of the house, even though she came up with the right idea. Whether it be now, my wife, she handles money better than I do. So I put her over the money. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And in my clothing, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husband everything. Husband, love your wives. This is the most important key. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And in order for your marriage to be successful, Christ must be the one leading you. You must be led by the Holy Spirit in your decision making and everything you do. You must seek God. And in our closing, lead me, guide me along the way. Oh Lord, Lord, if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with you. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. Even in a successful marriage, lead me. You got to have it.
Guide me
alone.
Alone. The way.
Oh, Lord. Lord, if you lead me, I cannot stray in your marriage. Lord, let me walk. 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 In my decisions, let me walk. Let me walk. Let me walk. In my choices, let me walk. In my marriage, let me walk. Each day, each day with you.
God, the love of God, the love of God. Give your address, whatever you want to give, because he has CDs and videos. I would like for you all to get one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give them that information again.
Yes, ma'am. The address is P.O. Box 885, Mount Olive, Mississippi, MS 39119. And if you want a CD, or you can cash out me to my phone number is 601-765-7000, and just give me your name and your address. You can text me your name and your address and cash out me that number. And if you want to book us, you know, it's no church too small, and it's no place too big, and it's no place too far that we won't go. So, you know, we just let up God, we'll pray about it, and if we don't have anything to do, we'll definitely try to put it on our schedule to come, because this year we said we're just going to trust God and just go as God lead us, because we go to the nursing home, that's where we go and things with Pastor Carpenter and Brother Campbell, they be on the phone, you all don't know it, but we'll call them in and just let them listen into the prayer line sometimes, because they shut in and they can't get out. But I just thank God for this opportunity, Mother, and we just continue to pray our strength in the Lord, and may God continue to bless you and keep you. We love you.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor Vivian.
Thank you all both. Bless you all both. Continue to bless you all. We went over time, but it's all right. Praise God. And if you all didn't get that address, phone number one, just call me, praise God, and you all can get it, praise God. We want to bless these people. These are God's people that's out here leading and guiding us whenever we need a prayer for our marriage or whatever. We have someone we can go to and say, pray. We can look for someone who says a successful marriage. May the Lord bless and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance toward you. And may he give you peace this week. Please be back here with us next week on next Sunday at the same time for the last week of love. But you know God's love is always. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Have a good night now. And I love you all much. Thank you for coming on again. And bless you. Bless you.
God bless you.